Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
What is the hardest thing to do when you're starting a company?
Trying to find anyone other than your mom to like your Facebook page.
Okay, that's number two. But number one is trying to figure out what to name your company.
Welcome to Growing a Fruitful Brand, where we discuss how to create and grow a brand that makes the world a better place for you, your customers, and your employees. I'm Ben Luters, founder and art director of Fruitful Design and Strategy, and this is my business partner and brand strategist, Raj Lula.
Naming your business is one of the hardest things that founders and entrepreneurs have to do, on top of figuring out a good product and figuring out your audience and how you're going to get yourself out there in the world, selling, all those things. You also have to figure out, what are we going to call this thing?
Right.
And it is so difficult. That's why a lot of people end up hiring agencies to help them with this. In fact, there are some agencies that won't even touch the naming process because it's difficult. At Fruitful, we have found a process that has worked for dozens of companies. And people have thankfully made millions of dollars on the companies that they've founded. Only a small part of that is the naming that we've been able to help out with.
But it's an important part.
Yeah, we're honored to have played that role. Along the way, we figured out five rules that we adhere to every time that we name a company that helps people get to a better result faster. And so we want to share those with you today.
Let's do it. All right. The first one is that there are no perfect names.
So every name has assets and liabilities. That's how I like to describe it. And so just thinking through, you're not going to have a perfect name. That's too much pressure to put on the process of naming your company. And it's a lot like naming a kid. It's very personal. And you know, I don't know how the naming process was for you and your kids, but for us, I was a teacher when we started having kids. And so just about every name you came up with, I had either somebody from my past associated with it. I also worked in churches, so there were talking hundreds of people there.
Right.
And then students. And so there were so many people that that had already had a lot of names in our lives.
Oh, yeah, that's the classic issue naming a kid is like, I like that name, but we can't do that because so-and-so in junior high teased me one time about so-and-so. And it's like, really? But it makes it hard.
Yeah, and even if, I didn't have a negative experience with somebody, it was even just a neutral experience, I didn't want them to think that, I was honoring them. It's like, wow, I didn't realize Raj thought so much of me. And it's like, no, I just thought you had a cool name. Whatever. So anyway, names have assets and liabilities. You kind of go through this process when you're naming your own kids or your pets or whatever. And so the best way to think about it is that you want to maximize the assets of a name and minimize the liabilities of your name. That's going to be done through selling, through your brand reputation, through your marketing. And the name itself does not have to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. You think about some of the biggest brands out there in the world. Coca-Cola was named after cocaine as one of its main ingredients. Not a good look. It's honestly kind of amazing that name has survived to this day based on that origin. Apple.
Maybe that's why it has survived so well. I don't know.
We don't know what's in Diet Coke. The recipe's a secret. It is kind of addictive, but I don't think cocaine's allowed anymore.
The hint is in the name. It's literally called Coke.
Soylent Green is people. But Apple was chosen from a list of friendly-sounding words. It was pretty rogue in the industry at the time. You had businesses like Microsoft, microchips and software. You had IBM, International Business Machines, that made a lot more sense for the industry.
And I love how Raja says that. I think most people probably have no idea what IBM stands for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that happens with names though, but IBM's name has stuck around for a long time. I think in part because they shortened it down. Acronym.
Exactly. Yeah, I think IBM's a better name than
International Business Machines.
Exactly.
So, you're going to have assets and liabilities. Pepsi, not a great name, came from, talking about stomach acid and amino acids in your stomach. So the reason why Pepsi Cola and Pepsid AC have very similar names. They actually come from the same thing. They used to think that drinking Pepsi would be good for your stomach.
That's why I just drink Pepsid AC now.
We've talked on the podcast before about how Nike was mispronounced as Nike early in the its life. It's named after the Greek goddess of victory, but nobody knew that. Even people who know Greek mythology.
Right, right. I used to pronounce it Nike when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
My dad's name is Mike, and he wore Nikes when he went to the gym.
And even people who know Greek mythology, they read Percy Jackson or whatever. It's not like Nike is a big, you know, goddess even in the pantheon. So it was unfamiliar. We kind of, immortalized these names because the companies were so great that we're just like, well, that was a great name. Right. And I'm here to dispel that myth. There are no perfect names. A lot of it is what you make of it. However, you can make a lot of mistakes in naming your company, and that could prevent you from ever becoming a good company.
Exactly.
So second rule then is that it has to be easy.
Mm.
And it has to be easy in a couple different directions. First is that it has to be easy to pronounce. Now, again, you're going to find exceptions to some of these rules. Nike, I think, is one that it wasn't immediately obvious, immediately easy to pronounce. And thankfully, through the partnerships with sports stars and that kind of stuff, they got the brand name out there quickly. It's not a risk that you should take in most cases.
Right.
For example, Marty Neumeier, who's a famous brander, he gives the example of Citibank versus Wachovia. I'm not even sure if Wachovia is still around anymore.
Wait, I thought that was Wachovia.
If you are ordering a quesadilla at Chili's before you go to Wachovia as your bank, then yes, it is pronounced that way. The other thing is it has to be easy to Google. And so Google is a combination of spelling and, memorability, sort of the obviousness of the name. I think that there are brands today that you wouldn't necessarily have named that way if they were started in the era of Google.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, even something like H&R Block, it doesn't like immediately go, oh, yeah, that tax place.
Right.
And so, again, even though it's
what does H&R stand for? I'm assuming it's names of the founders. Like,
well, now you can embarrass me because I don't know.
Keep talking.
He's going to Google while we figure that out. But I mean, that's again part of the point is that you wouldn't have created that naming convention in today's world. So it has to be easy to Google, easy to spell. There was kind of a trend there for a while where people would drop letters from names, and that can make it difficult to find you on Google. Now, if you're...
Just a second. Yes. I have to say, Henry and Richard.
Oh, you're right.
And their last name was Block, B-L-O-C-H. And they changed it to Block with a K.
I respect that.
Henry and Richard Block.
Yeah, and it says it had always been difficult for people to pronounce and spell. So even back then,
yeah, that's great.
They knew that having a name that's hard to spell and pronounce, because is it Blotch? Is it Bloke?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Love it.
So even before Google.
All right, back to the regularly scheduled program.
Yeah. Don't make it difficult for your customers.
Right.
It has to be easy. Easy to pronounce, easy to Google, easy to spell. So that because they want to be able to find you and recommend you.
I think on that note, like kind of like you were comparing Citibank to Wachovia, mm-hmm. Uber is probably a better name than Lyft. You know,
yeah, in terms of the Y. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's like Lyft with a Y, you know, whereas Uber is just the way that you spell it.
Yeah, and if Uber had been slightly less familiar, you know, people are like, oh, it's a German word that means super, but you had to explain that every time, then it wouldn't have been great.
It already worked its way into, I think, our, conversation. Like,
yeah.
You know, Uber.
Yeah, I'm Uber excited for the, exactly. So at one time, it would not have been a good name, but where it was culturally, yeah, it was a good name.
I've got a little name thing just popped in my mind that I recently learned. Now you're a much better namer brander than I am, so I will say you probably already know this. But why is Airbnb called Airbnb?
I mean, originally I believe the concept of it was sort of this couch surfing app where it wasn't so much about renting a room in my house. It was like I'm gonna be in Dallas playing with my band, and I literally just need a couch to sleep on, and so,
or an airbed.
That's what it is.
It's like that is the concept though.
Yeah.
That it originally wasn't like so much. Here's my this home you can stay in, but it's like a bed and breakfast, but airbed and breakfast.
That's fantastic.
I think I knew that at one point, but it happened when we were staying in an Airbnb in the middle of Nebraska, and my wife's grandma was like, why is it called Airbnb? And I'm like, That's a great question. Yeah. I had to look it up. And so interestingly, they're actually trying to get back to that, like that, you know, that service of like, hey, just a room in your house, just a couch, just a, you know,
oh,
they're trying to add that back into their app now.
That's so interesting.
I always thought kind of a terrible name.
And they should rebrand to like a half deflated mattress. So you wake up in the morning and like your back hurts.
A little tangent there, but
no, yeah, names that's great.
Just, names are just so fascinating.
Again, another great example of, you know, that name has assets and liabilities. Like
right.
They leaned into the kind of flowiness of it. They create a great logo that feels really yep. warm and breezy and friendly. And I would have assumed that the air part was sort of Wi-Fi, you know, or
sure.
it's like you can look it
or
up on your phone.
Easy or breezy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But like, that's the thing is like there's obviously liabilities with it, but they have worked so hard on all the other aspects of their brand and it's become such a, like a word. Whereas like, VRBO, Vrbo, or whatever, like I said, like that's one where that's probably a terrible name, and they don't have the same. People don't just say Vrbo the way they say Airbnb.
Yeah,
at least not around here.
In fact, I literally had a conversation this week where somebody spelled it out the whole time, and I don't know either way. Is it supposed to be Vrbo? Is
yeah,
it
I think I've
VRBO?
Seen ads where they say Vrbo, but most people, first of all, most people don't say it. Like yeah. I don't feel like people talk about it the same way. But I've heard people say.
And just
VRBO.
Think about it. This is such a great example. Which one would you be more likely to recommend? A name that you don't know for sure how it's pronounced, or a name that you're like, hey, it's Airbnb, you know, like the word air and B&B, like bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
It's so easy. You have to make it easy.
Gotta make it easy.
The third rule is that it has to be available. You have to be able to get this name legally and have a good URL for it. And so you want to have... you know, you want to go to GoDaddy or Google Domains or whoever you buy your URLs for from and search for these names as you're thinking of things. We also search the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to see if other companies have squatted on these names. But to be honest, here at Fruitful, we actually partner with a legal team from a local law firm to help us do this part because we want to make sure that our clients don't fall in love with a name that's not going to work
yeah,
for
that's
them.
That's the worst. You're like, yeah, we've got it. And then you find out legally you can't use it.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to get all the way through the branding process. Ben and the design team have created a great logo for you. You accept it. You take all the files. You pay your last bill. And then you send it to your lawyer. Go, we good? And your lawyer goes, no, absolutely not. There's a company called Coca-Cola already. And then you're like, you don't want to come back to us and be like, hey, can you just redo it for free? It's like, no, we did the work that you paid us to do
right.
just because nobody did their homework. We don't want to put you in that situation. We don't want to be in that situation either. So now we've partnered with a legal team to make sure that the name is at least most likely available. We don't go all the way through the trademark process. That's between you and your lawyer. But we do hire them to search for you to make sure that it's at least defensible from the beginning here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal because, you know, you don't want to, like I said, you don't want to fall in love with a name that doesn't work. This part can be really discouraging. You think of a name and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the one. It's lightning in a bottle. It's going to be so
lightning
great.
Lightning in a bottle. Oh, no.
It's the name of my new tequila brand, Lightning in a Bottle.
Probably already exists.
You know the name that I think should exist in tequila is Tequila Mockingbird?
Oh, yeah. I have thought of that.
There is a Mockingbird tequila, but I've not seen anybody do Tequila Mockingbird. we'll have to see if the lawyer will let us pass that one.
Is it really a Mockingbird tequila?
There is, yeah. Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
So one of the things I like to remind myself when I get discouraged in thinking of names for other companies is there's this rule in creative work where if you're one in a million in the U.S., there's 1,000 of you in China.
And I thought I was special.
You are special. It's okay. Your mom wasn't lying. You are special.
Oh, thanks.
But it just helps to kind of frame it in that, you know, we've all been shaped by, you know, a lot of the same cultural things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say the same Pledge of Allegiance. We sing mm-hmm. the same national anthem, same founding fathers, you know, all of that. And
so really patriotic for a second. There.
a lot of similar symbolism, you know, depending on your faith background, you might've been raised with certain values or certain symbols. And a lot of us grew up with there being only three channels on television. And, you know, so we watched a lot of the same Saturday morning cartoons and same shows, all that. I make myself sound super old now.
But we didn't watch any TV, so pretty sheltered. But also, similarly, we all kind of, you know, align ourselves with different brands, you know, and different tribes as well. So, like, you know, we grew up in a world where, you know, we think Apple is a brilliant name for a technology company, and that conditions the way we think about names.
Yeah.
You know, like what we would accept as a cool name. You know, whereas if we had grown up at a different time, we might think that, you know, all technology companies have to have a very literal, you know, name or an acronym.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there was a time where Apple almost went out of business, and
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And so in the annals of history, it might have been, don't name your company something weird like that because you'll end up out of business. It didn't. Obviously, it's the most valuable company in the world now. But it's, yeah, things can go either way.
Right.
And sometimes it is or is not the fault of the name.
Subscribe and ring that bell.
And this is almost, you know, kind of something to balance against the easiness of it, is that it does have to be memorable. It has to be different enough from your competitors, but not so different that people are just like, I don't remember. It's that it was that thing with the funny name. I think that's one of the worst things that somebody can say about your brand. It was that thing with the funny name, because your name is arguably one of the most important assets of your brand. It people aren't going to say, oh, I shop at that one place, you know? oh, we should order it from that one place. You know, it may be for your favorite, you know, Chinese food, Indian food restaurant, whatever you like, and you're struggling to remember the name because it's unfamiliar to you in English. Like, yeah, maybe they'll be like, oh, that Indian place we like, you know, you might say that, but they're not going to say, you know, that store with all of the diapers and food and stuff. You know, like,
right. I'll even say, like, you know, some of the, you know, like foreign restaurants that have come that have maybe hard to pronounce, you know, names, you know, from their country translating into American. I think some of the best ones have found ways to, you know, we're Golden Mountain or, you know, even, you know, my family used to go to one called Hong Hing. It's easy to pronounce.
Exactly.
It's simple. I don't really know what it means, but like, maybe it doesn't mean anything, you know, but like they're making
to,
it easy for their audience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Coca-Cola. We don't, I'll bet some of you learned for the first time today that there was any relationship to cocaine.
Yeah. You're probably going to the store right now to get your first bottle.
but Coca-Cola, it almost rhymes. It's got this rhythm to it.
Alliteration.
It's really easy to say. Yeah. So it has to be memorable, different enough, but not too different. And, you know, so thinking through that, you probably are going to have a worse time naming your company something like, you know, Omaha Plumbing Supplies or something like that. Now, it's great for, it could be great for SEO.
So
you might be okay there. But let's go a little further back. Maybe something like Omaha Industrial and Janitorial Supplies or something, you know, like... It's very...
Rolls off the tongue.
You know, it's very specific to your industry, and it kind of fits your industry if your competitor is Omaha Plumbing Supplies, but they're going to get more business than you if yours is Omaha Industrial and Janitorial Supplies Emporium Incorporated, you know, or whatever. It's just, it's too much. And so you'd want to stand out in some way, and the answer is most likely not to be O-I-J-S. You know, that's going to be... And people aren't going to remember it.
Well, we've talked about it before. I mean, branding is an exercise in differentiation. It's like, how can I stand out in this industry? So we look at like what competitors in an industry are doing, not to see how we can emulate, but to see how can we stand out if this is what the playing field looks like. And I think that's why, you know, with Amazon, the biggest online bookseller, you know, they could have gone for like, you know, bookstore.com or something like that. But Amazon really kind of, it stands out in the, you know, like, what does it mean? What does it have to do with Amazon? They found clever ways to tie it into A to Z and all that kind of fun stuff. You know, branding people just have a lot of fun with that. But like, you know, it stands out. And same with Apple. It's like in a world of IBM that, you know, literally means something. Or in the world of Microsoft, no, we're going with the name of a fruit. Yeah. You know, it stands out. It's different, and different is good. It helps people, helps you be more memorable. In a sea of the same, you know, people are going to remember what's different.
Yeah. However, you do also want to weigh that against being so far outside of the norm that it doesn't make sense. You know, so if you were doing a financial literacy app or a budgeting app, and it's called Ketchup and Mustard.
Ooh.
Nobody would probably use that, you know, because it's just like, I don't really understand this, but you have to think about what actually makes sense in our industry. Why would Ketchup and Mustard even be a good name for a financial app? Because what people generally want to do with their finances is they want to grow. They want to be responsible. They want to build for the future. That's why a lot of, financial apps have aspirational types of names.
Right.
Or names that make you feel really safe. You don't want to go with, you know, something that's just so off the wall that it doesn't help you, unless you've got millions and millions to spend on your marketing, in which case, by all means, call us. We will be happy to build you all the billboards.
We will name you Ketchup and Mustard.
Yeah. All right. So our last rule here is that your name has to match the DNA of your brand. And unfortunately, this is the most difficult one.
Oh, yeah.
And cause after you've already got through the gauntlet of knowing that there's no perfect name, realizing you're going to have to maximize the assets, minimize the liabilities, it has to be easy to pronounce and to spell and Google. It has to be available. You got to be able to find a good URL and get it through the patent trademark office, maybe your secretary of state as well. It has to be memorable, different, but not too different. Now you have to get to the kind of creative style part of the name, and it feels like, oh my gosh, this is exhausting. And this is why a lot of people do hire an agency to help them with naming, and again, why a lot of agencies won't touch it, because it is difficult. In fact, there's a brander named Eli Altman who runs a studio that actually specializes in naming and words, and he created this poster and wrote a book about
For those
naming.
Of you listening, Raj is pulling out a giant
and I'm
poster.
It. Is it upside? Oh, that's right side up. Is it upside down? It's upside down.
You're
Excellent.
Upside down.
Okay, now it's right side up. It
he
doesn't
writes
matter.
On it sideways. There, so. Types of name.
Eli comes up with 29 different ways to name your company, and I find that to be a lot. Right. He either could have rounded up to 30 or squished it down to the 25 or 20, but he did him. So good for you, Eli. But I like to just condense those down to kind of four conventions of naming. Mm. You have real words, made up words, names, and initials. And this is kind of helps with this, you know, is it available? You know, it's like you have these different types of names that you can do. Now, just because something is made up of real words doesn't mean that it has to be a real word.
Right, right.
You know, so it doesn't necessarily, like I said, it doesn't have to be searchengine.com. It could be Google. Google's based on a number, a really big number, and that kind of calls to how much stuff is on the internet. And so it relates to the business they do, but it's not searchengine.com. Same with a company that we name called Skillwork. They do travel staffing for skilled labor. And so it makes sense for them. Their workers are skilled, and they do skilled work. And so we took skilled and work, smashed it together, skill work, and that was one of the ways that we found a good URL. Now, something I did want to mention is that URL wasn't immediately available. We had to go buy that from someone else, and thankfully it was available. That person, you know, wasn't really using it. They just owned it, and we purchased it from them, got it to Skillwork, and it's a great part of their brand now. Really clean, easy to spell, skillwork.com. And, but then you can do made-up words as well. This is one to be careful with.
Right.
Some people you know, want to infuse, you've talked about this, too much of their like values and everything into it. And it kind of just makes a little hobby horse camel out of,
they're pulling obscure references from their childhood or the founder and, you know, insert this Greek mythology here or, you know, religious symbolism here. And it can get, it can turn into this kind of like hobby horse or camel that you're kind of loading up and it has all this meaning to you. And then someone else sees it and they can't pronounce it.
Like, you know, if your tree house as a kid was named Brian's Place and you're like, oh, that's why I named my company Briple, you know, because we put Brian's and Place together. And, you know, it's like, yeah, it's going to look like Briple. And is it an R or is it a Y in there? Is it an I? Is it two P's? Is it, you know, it's like not good.
No.
So
I love how quickly that name came to you.
I'm very good at bad names. So
I want to know more about Brian.
do be careful with made up words. You know, there are some great ones. For example, Haagen-Dazs is completely made up. You would think that it means like, you know, delicious ice cream in German or something. It's completely made up. Doesn't mean anything.
Another good one too. And I had to Google this. I thought I had heard this, but Kodak. Kodak is a completely made up word, film. And it's just the founder really liked the K, seemed really strong. He wanted something that sounded very like American, very, very, you know, strong. And it's really easy to say. It's really short. And Kodak.
That's
Kodak.
So
and it
interesting.
Kind of sounds like a camera.
Yeah.
Kodak.
Yeah. Yeah. Quick, yeah.
It just, you know, and it kind of, you know, lasts the test of time.
I would have thought it was a name. Yeah. That's,
I know.
That's
so you would assume it sounds like, you know, after William H. Kodak, you know, founded. Nope. Completely made up. It kind of sounds like Kodiak or something.
Yeah. So real words, made up words, names, initials. One thing I want to caution you on is only use your name if it's the right thing for the brand. I think people default to it and it's not always a good look.
Have you ever used your name for a brand, Raj?
So I started a photography company about 10 years ago, and it is called Lula Photography. But the reason I did was because at the time, the convention in naming a photography business was to go with something to do with like a Stitch in Time photography or CaptureTheMoment.com, and it was so cheesy. Yeah. And I couldn't get behind it. There are some really great names in there. Like I think Shutterfly is a fantastic name in the, in the naming industry. Again, nothing has a perfect name because Shutterfly, Butterfly, there's Fluttershy in My Little Pony. I used to think my daughter was saying Shutterfly, and I was like, have you ever heard of Shutterfly?
Yeah, don't say that 10 times fast. Getting in weird territory.
Yep. You know, there are good made-up names in that industry. I just couldn't think of one that was better than my own name.
And I think that's actually a really, you know, a good naming convention where you're kind of positioning yourself as an artist and you're putting your name on your work. And I think that, you know, that's something that I think is pretty common with photography, with illustrators, with people, with, you know, painting artists and sculptors, ceramic. Like, you see people's names in that. I think the trick is when the names are really hard to pronounce or really long, that's when you might want to consider maybe we should try something
different. Yeah, exactly. My name is, you know, my last name is five letters, and so super easy. That made it easier to get away with having photography as a name. I didn't want to go with photo because it seemed to cheapen the product. Kind of more like the Walmart Photo Lab or whatever. Right. It just seemed too like kind of low end. So it allowed me to get a little bit longer in the descriptor. And I will say one thing that we did with your help was that we used an elephant as our symbol, in part because of my Indian heritage, but then also, you know, people had asked me about it. And elephants have amazing memories. You know, they're one of the few animals that mourns the death of another animal. And and so they're highly intelligent. They have great memories. And really, when you're selling photography, you're not selling the photos. You're selling an encapsulation of a memory. If I'm shooting at your wedding, then, you know, it's not just a 4x6 or an 8x10 or whatever that I'm selling you. It's that this moment in time that's singular was captured, and you'll have this forever. You can pass it down to your kids and your grandkids so they'll remember you.
And if you think of differentiation, not a lot of wedding photographers with a elephant as their logo.
No.
I think.
No, you know, a lot of cameras, a lot of like, you know, shutter icons, all that kind of stuff. Or, I went a completely
like wedding
different direction.
Rings or something yep. like that. Yeah.
Yep, 100%. There are a couple of bonus rules I'd like to throw out there for you. Number one, I consider this to be a pay-to-play rule. Donald Miller talks about how you don't necessarily have to have integrity as one of your core values as your company, because assuming that you're not stealing from us is a condition of working here.
Right.
So in a similar way, this is a pay-to-play rule for naming anything. It has to pass the junior high test. Would someone immature giggle at the name that you came up with?
Wait, that's bad? Give me an
example. I mean, most often it's bad. Sometimes there are, I'm going to say this on the podcast. Earmuffs your kids for a second. But Big Ass Fans is probably the one example I've ever heard of that got away with kind of flouting that convention, but they did it on purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's worked really well for them. I think in part because their product is incredible. They create these massive fans that are almost silent. And, mm-hmm. You can cool off an entire barn with one of these huge, like, aerospace grade fans. Other than that, it generally does not work. One of the worst businesses. Before I say this, I want to say, I respect anybody who starts a business, and I know how hard it is, and I know how hard it is to brand yourself. And so, hey, go for it. Do what you need to do. However, there used to be a local company called Holly's Healthy Holes that I even now struggle to giggle with. I literally took a picture of it the first time that I ever saw the sign because I had to send it to my friend so we could laugh.
You could flip that too, though.
Yeah.
It got you to share that with a friend. Now they're talking about it. They'll never forget it. And I've heard you mention Holly's Healthy Holes more times than I would care to repeat. So I'm
more
sure there was some
I
strategy.
Care, yeah.
You know, maybe she's the genius here.
Again, so this is an assets and liability question. Is being willing to be the butt of a joke, pun regrettably intended, is that something you're willing to do for, fast name recognition? That's a trade-off that you got to be really careful with, because, I mean, ultimately, even with a very memorable name, it did not make me want to buy the product. Like it did not make me trust the judgment of somebody who would create a name that sounded so gross to make something something delicious. It was a bakery, by the way. I feel like we should mention that.
That's right.
Donut holes. You wouldn't have guessed that necessarily by me saying the name. That's the point, right? I think that it, for me, it undermined trust in the brand. I never tried it. They went out of business a few years ago.
Because Raj didn't try them.
I have no idea. I think honestly, she just wanted to make a change in career.
Yeah.
But it's not that kind of thing. Would not recommend. You have to pass a junior high test. Got to pass the giggle test. And if you don't have someone in your life who will do that for you, I went to public school. Ben didn't, so he doesn't catch all of them. But
yeah,
feel
I don't get
free
the joke, personally.
Feel free to send it to me. I will tell you if you're not going to pass the giggle test. The other bonus rule that I'd like to throw out here, this comes again from Marty Neumeier, the expert in branding. He says he recommends it be 4 syllables or less. Mm. I think that this is a fantastic rule. Now, one of the challenges that you're going to come up with is that, like Ben talked about, sometimes you want to cram your values in there, and you feel like you're kind of letting something down if you don't. And remembering this rule, 4 syllables or less, and usually, it's like fruitful design. It like just adding a descriptor in there at all is really difficult. Now, are we flouting that rule a little bit? Fruitful design and strategy, yes. But we most often go by fruitful.
Yeah, fruitful.
And
two syllables.
It's 2 syllables. In descriptors, in one-liners, sure, have some more syllables. That's great. But your main name, you don't want to go with, onomatopoeia.com or something like that. It's going to be too difficult.
I feel like most of the ones that we've talked about today, if you think skill, work, Apple, Nike,
Google,
Kodak. Like the, I think the one word that's two syllables is like really, really strong.
Yeah, Coca-Cola gets away with four, which I think is on the upper end. But in
part, it just bounces off the.
Yeah, in part because the almost rhyming nature. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the letters are the same in Coca-Cola.
But we shorten it too, Coke.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Yeah, and they've got both.
I want to talk about a few names that we have created. We talked about Skillwork. Love those guys over there. We were fortunate to partner with First National Bank, FNBO, to create something called the New Stockyard Group and a product called Cattle ID. Those are both being wound down now, but they were great pilots in the area of blockchain and agriculture. And, you know, we went with New Stockyard Group because it was a call back to the roots of Omaha as a stockyard town, you know, where people would bring their animals to sell. And so we wanted to, as we're dealing with something as high tech as blockchain, to honor the origins of the industry. And, you know, it's like, this isn't about the tech, it's about the goal, which the goal is to sell your animals and to and to do well as an ag producer, and those folks work super hard and deserve every dollar they get.
Well, and the main logo mark was, you know, the initials NSG.
Yeah.
And we kind of went into this historical, we made belt buckles for the farmers or for, you know, the ranchers and stuff that was NSG and, you know, kind of that more of the IBM kind of a name with a historic.
Even then, New Stockyard Group, four syllables. Mm-hmm. Cattle ID was a great product. It was an app, again, aimed at blockchain. And that was, I'm not going to lie, it was informed by Apple, you know, Touch ID, Face ID. And when we're trying to create an app to identify cattle, Cattle ID was a name that seemed pretty obvious. There was a little bit of competition for it in the space, you know, if for a pilot product that maybe was going to be renamed later, it was a great thing to get out in the world. And because you can always, sometimes you can do FNBO Cattle ID or something like that, that would protect you from, you know, having to worry about trademarking a name that's fairly obvious like that. A few other, you know, we recently had the pleasure of renaming First State Bank here in Omaha to Dayspring Bank. I think you can immediately recognize that Dayspring is so much more memorable than First State Bank, especially in, you know, a town that has previously had Omaha State Bank, has First National Bank, First Bank.
Interstate Bank.
First Interstate Bank. Yeah, too much competition. Dayspring stands out so much more, has given a lot of life and energy to that brand and to the great folks over there. You know, a fun coffee company that we've gotten to name, Glean Coffee. That one's particularly fun because they came to us with this idea that they wanted to do a coffee company that gives back, like from the beginning, the idea of giving back. They're people of faith. And so, you know, in the story of Ruth in the Bible, you know, it talks about how, you know, farmers are supposed to only go through their fields one time, harvest what they can, and then leave the rest. It's called the gleanings to for other people to come work and get for themselves. So if you're hungry, you can come harvest wheat from here. Anything that our you know, folks missed on the first go through the fields, you can come work. There's honor and dignity to that work. And then you'll also have food. And so it was just so emblematic of the, you know, of the values of the company, but also sounds great. Glean rhymes with clean.
Clean.
It's easy to spell. It's five letters. Nobody One else syllable. That we had found was in the industry, which is really hard with coffee companies because there's so many of them. You know, so really great name to be able to come up with there. I wanted to mention another one. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, we had the opportunity to help name Thrasher's parent company.
Right.
What was that process like?
Well, yeah, I mean, Thrasher Basement Systems is, you know, a big local company here in Omaha, and they've expanded throughout the Midwest. And Thrasher is the last name.
Yeah.
And is their last name. But they wanted to have, like, a, you know, a parent company that could kind of encompass some of the other brands that they were kind of acquiring.
Because they're not just in basements anymore. You
know? Yeah, they do more than that.
A foundation, and, a garage.
Hello Garage is one of their companies. And so, you know, if you just look at the final result of Thrasher Group, it's like, oh boy, that was hard. But we went through a whole process to get there. Yeah. And that's kind of the whole thing is, and we talk about this, one of the first things, I think it's the first thing that Raj says when we go through a naming process, is we take all ego out of it.
Yeah.
We don't have to be the ones to come up with a name. If we're giving you a process to help you and help all of us, you know, work on names together, and if the client is the one that comes up with the final one, or if it's based on something that they share, that's awesome. Well, you know, if it hits all of these things, that's great. And so that was one that, again, might seem more obvious, but like, you know, it's really it really fits them well, and we built a whole brand around it that, you know, just really feels like them.
Yeah, and that way, when other companies that have different names like Hello Garage are part of the Thrasher Group family, mm-hmm. then it retains that identity of the original company, which is a great company. And then also, though, it makes it clear, like, why am I getting a paycheck from a company that's got a different name? You know, it's like, well, because this belongs to the Thrasher Group of companies, which is why we went with a pretty straightforward name. Sometimes that is the right choice.
Yeah. But I mean, even in that one, you know, I'm just thinking about some of the things that were said during that process. Like, one of the options could have been Thrasher Family. But, you know, family can be a loaded term. Family doesn't always mean the same thing. And they're really quick to be like, yeah, I don't know that we want to say we're your family, because, you know, family can be a loaded concept.
Can also, I get fired from my family?
Yeah, exactly. Also, a lot more syllables, too, if you think about family. Yeah. You know, like, and we're a Thrasher Group, just kind of, it's right there, and it's three syllables. So, you know, it just kind of works.
Yeah. Wanted to give honorable mention to a couple of other companies that we've helped name. We don't have a ton of time to go into it, but Verdant Group, which is formerly Garaki and Associates, a longtime accounting firm here in Omaha, and they had a bigger vision. So Verdant, meaning green and growth, was a great name for them, providing more business services outside of accounting, and you know, great folks over there. Also, really, really love our friends at Hardy Coffee. Hardy was Autumn, the founder's maiden name, but it also describes the, you know, Midwestern hardiness of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great way to start the morning with a cup of coffee that's going to actually stand up to the rigors of your day.
That's another one where the client really, you know, that name really came from them through the process.
We didn't invent her maiden name.
We did not invent. Yeah, obviously. but through the process that we went through together, you know, that really came to the surface as the winner. And again, no, there's no ego here. This is your baby. You know, we're giving you a process to help name your baby that you're gonna have to live with.
Yeah, and I gotta give you a gold star for naming Fruitful.
Oh, thanks, Raj.
It's a great name. We've been asked many times. I mean, sometimes seriously, if people could buy the name,
right?
And it really represents who we are, what we want to happen for our clients. It's connected to the values that we hold. But it's not exclusive, and so it's been a really great name for our company, and really describes what we want to happen for our clients when they work with us. We want them to grow. We want the work to bear fruit that's multiple times bigger than the work that we do for them, the investment that they make with us. You know, whether you have a company name or not, so for you, you might be thinking about starting a company, or you might have a company name that you've never really been crazy about. We get a lot of those.
Yeah.
People kind of restarting, often when something's being handed down between generations of a family, or you just took over as CEO and you're like, oof, this thing's a mess. Then, and maybe not even the company, but just the name. You know, hey, the company's great. The name's terrible. People won't recommend it to their friends. Mm-hmm. Got a client like that right now. Then I would just challenge you to think through those rules. You know, does it pass the junior high laugh test? Again, that's a pay-to-play value. But, you know, recognizing, are the liabilities greater than the assets for this name? Is it too hard to pronounce? Our accounting firm just went down from lots of names to one name because it was too much to remember. The law firms and accounting firms encounter this all the time. Is it easy to pronounce, easy to spell, easy to Google? Is the availability good? Has the marketplace gotten crowded with 18 different banks or organizations named very similar to you? Is it memorable? Do people forget you? And, you know, one of the only ways to measure that is, are you getting the amount of business that you want? You know, like if not, it could be your brand. It could be your name that's standing in the way. And then, you know, lastly, does it match the DNA of your brand? Does your name really represent who you are? And it can be really weird sometimes when the company was named after the founder, but the founders moved on, you know, many generations ago.
Right.
And you might go, hey, no, this doesn't represent us anymore. And it's not a dishonor to the people who founded it. Have a history section in the about page of your website. Put up a plaque. Do whatever you need to do to honor that person. But if it's not serving your customers, then you're costing yourself money. You're costing yourself, you're making your marketing less effective than it could be. And you're making it harder for your customers to recommend you to other people because it's difficult to pronounce, hard to remember, whatever it may be. Or you might just be hard to find. And if you've got a great company, then you deserve a name that is good, that is easy to remember, that is available, that's differentiated, and is going to actually give your customers a taste of what it's going to be like to work with you. You are building a community of people with your brand. Mm-hmm. We talked about that on our branding episode recently. And so, would those people be proud to wear a t-shirt that says your name on it? Or would they be proud to say that they bank with you? Or would they be proud to say that they belong to you? And, if they embarrassingly say, I got this cake from a place with a really weird name, you should think about changing it. In our last outro, it was just Ben by himself asking you to like and subscribe, which made it look like he didn't have any friends. Please like and subscribe so he has at least virtual friends.
I have friends, Raj.
I'm one of them.